This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University's Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today, we're going to talk to Wichita State track and field distance runner Jed Helker. Jed is a redshirt sophomore. He's from Edmond, Oklahoma. On Saturday, he won the Greeno Dirksen Invitational Cross Country Meet in Lincoln, Nebraska, his first championship as a college runner. Shockers won the team title, and as a result of that, they moved up 8 spots. They are now number 5 in the Midwest region rankings in the coaches' poll after finishing ahead of Nebraska and Iowa, who are also in that meet. Last spring, Jed finished 2nd in the 800 meters and 3rd in the 1500 at the American Athletic Conference Outdoor Championship. So, Jed, let's start with Saturday in Lincoln. You shaved 40 seconds off your personal best. You ran a time of 24 minutes, 18 seconds in the 8K. 40 seconds seems like a significant jump. How do you get to that point?
Well, it's a good question, honestly. I don't think that really any of the guys out there expected to run that fast yet. I think we knew we had it in our wheelhouse, but this early, I think we thought, mid-24s, maybe upper 24s, that's what we were gunning for. And so to come up that last straight and see the time, we were all pretty excited. Me, Adam, and Clayton were running as a pack most of that race, and so just helping each other out and being able to close it down and have that big PR is a huge confidence booster. And then not only us three, but the rest of the team, just we pulled it along. There's kind of little packs of us working together. So very fast finish for most of us, and I don't think we quite expected it, but, you know, we'll take it. And I think that honestly kind of reset our minds towards new achievements that we can reach. And I don't think we thought we were capable of that. So very thankful for it, and I think Hunter is super excited too. So, yeah.
PAX is a good cross-country term. I'm not sure everybody understands maybe the importance or how much you guys talk and think about that. Explain a little bit about why packing is such a good thing for a cross-country team.
So I think a big thing is it helps us stay calm. I used to just kind of get out way too fast, and on Saturday I decided I'm going to get out a little slower and just progress into the race, and that worked perfectly. I caught up to Adam about 2K in, just past a mile, and then we both got up with Clayton about 2 miles in. So at that point, for the next few miles, we just worked together. So I have a lot of breathing issues usually, so about a mile and a half to go, that started to kind of set in, and those guys just pulled me along through the rest of it. And just being able to close it down that last half mile or so, having each other together and having people to try and catch was huge. So pack running, I think, is something, if you have a big group of guys that can stay together, that's going to help you even more than individual. There's a rare few that are like lone wolf type runners, but most people would prefer to have someone to hurt with rather than alone. So
it's kind of a support thing. You're talking to each other. You're encouraging each other, that kind of thing.
Yeah, if you've got the breath to say something, you can, but usually we're a little too tired, just focused. But we know that we're there pushing each other along. I would make a surge and Adam would follow it. We'd get up the hills. I would kind of put it in my legs, and Clayton would make a surge up that to make sure we stayed on pace. So just little things like that. So, yeah.
Do you typically go into a race thinking, boy, I would like to shave 10 seconds off my personal best, and that's realistic based on the course and the competition and my training? Do you think about it in those terms or not?
I think so, yeah. Going into the last weekend, it was 24:58 was my PR, and so most of us really kind of thought, all right, let's shoot for 24:40s, 24:30s. There's about, honestly, 8 to 9 guys that any given day could probably be our first man. So got a strong, like, our depth. If you've talked with Hunter about it, he will talk about this is the most depth that we've had, which is nice because usually there's only about 4 or 5 of us. We don't have enough to get a good scoring squad in. So to have 8, 9 guys up there is really nice. So they're usually about 10 seconds is probably the goal. So to have a 40-second PR was definitely kind of a surprise to all of us, but we'll take it.
We mentioned Wichita State won the team title. I know expectations are high for your group this this fall. What do you like about the Shockers and the team aspect of it?
Yeah. So like I said, our depth is definitely really strong. I think our team culture, we just each and every day we just have a good time at practice. We enjoy each other's company. So just being around each other, and before races we don't really get nervous, we just get excited. So I think that nervousness is good, but you want to keep that at bay. So I think mindset and then also our fitness right now, it's just only going in the right direction. If we just keep that going for the next 6 to 8 weeks leading up to conference and regionals, I think hopefully we can be looking at not only a top three finish, but maybe even give Tulsa a run for their money. They are usually the favorites. So after this past weekend, I think we realize on the right day, we might be able to get the job done at conference. And then the way that regionals works is top two teams go to nationals, and then they have a selection process for the next five teams throughout the nation. And so if we can just get in there, be up there, ready to compete, that's a 10K. It's going to be tougher, but everyone's got to do it. So if we can just put ourselves in position to maybe be a part of that selection process or even sneak in the top two, it would be pretty special. So already set one kind of school record, I guess, of highest regional ranking, but maybe we can see if we can take that one step further because we've got the guys to do it. So
leading up to this, I guess I always think it's interesting. I'm not sure people understand how many miles the cross-country runners put in over the summer. Tell us a little bit about your summer training and what you did to get ready for this point.
Mm-hmm. So my track season ended about very late May, or latest it'll go would be nationals, which is that first week of June, but I got knocked out in the first rounds at regionals. So took about a 2 to 3 week break, and then after that I started slowly increasing my mileage. The main focus is to be ready come conference and regionals. That's our main focus. So I don't want to get too fit too soon. A lot of us have made that mistake in the past and you kind of plateau. So we mainly just kind of ramp up, and about mid-July we're starting to touch our highest mileage, mid to late July, hitting our highest mileage, and we'll hold that I hold it for about 2 to 3 months. Once I hit about mid-October, I start to drop it back down. So for me, I'm more of the lower mileage guy at around 60 to 65 miles a week. Most of those guys on the team were hitting, our highest mileage guy is probably about 90. He hit 95 over the summer one or two weeks. So most of those guys, though, are hitting about 80. So I'm a lower mileage guy, around 60. That's just what my body can take. I'm not a super tall guy, but for a runner, I'm a little bit taller, being about 6 foot. So that's that pounding is a little more exaggerated on a taller frame, and the shorter guys are just able to go a little longer. So, but yeah, that's my sweet spot, about 60 to 65 for the past few months now. Just leading up, no real workouts, it's just mileage. It gets a little boring, but you're getting ready, you know, it's for a purpose. So,
where's your favorite place to run around here?
Around here, I really like the tracks, the old railroad tracks. They turned them into the gravel and paved paths. Those are nice, shaded, especially on the windy days. We go, there's a lot of those, so we go there a lot. But I think our favorite, everyone on the team will agree, would just be the dirt roads. Just a couple miles north, they're great dirt roads. Not everyone has those, so especially when you're in a city. So to be able to just go a couple miles away and get in countless miles, whatever you want, they're just super soft surface, easier on the body. So everyone loves those dirt roads.
Yeah. And do you listen to music while you're out there running?
If I'm on my own, I'll listen to music or a podcast or something. But now it's usually a group of, well, there's 14 guys and 10 girls. So we usually just run together and we'll talk. On our long runs, those are hour and a half plus. That's a pretty long time. So we'll play like 20 questions or something. Or if we're pushing the pace, we're not really talking. So, but if it's just an easy run, we're out there just talking and having a good time. So,
who asks the best questions on the team when you get a good round of 20 questions going?
So usually I would say, yeah, I don't know. Some of the freshmen ask some funny questions just because they're new to it. Because I don't know, we play it so much that we kind of get bored with it, but sure, we just keep doing it. The freshmen come in there and they add a little more humor to it. So, yeah, I'd say the freshmen.
The freshmen, always trying to experience new things, I guess. So when you're out on your own, what's your go-to song or go-to artist that you like to listen to?
I don't know. It changes from time to time. I kind of cover the spectrum. Right now I'm into kind of oldie music, so anything really 60s to 90s, but just a month ago I was listening to like some of the newer hip-hop artists that came out, like Drake and Kanye, so it'll change from time to time, but I'd say mostly I do listen to podcasts, comedy podcasts or history podcasts. Those are my favorite for sure.
So. Okay. So you've got two more cross-country meets, October 1st, October 15th, then the conference meet on October 29th in Tampa. Take us through the strategy for October so that you are peaking on that morning in Tampa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Mizzou, not this weekend, next weekend, is going to be a huge meet. A lot of SEC teams that are really quality there, Ole Miss, Mizzou are really good teams. So to get to mix it up with those guys and see where we fall, I think especially this year is going to be super exciting, but every year it's fun to go race those big programs and see how we match up against them. But I think it's just focusing on staying healthy and getting good workouts in still. I don't think that we're quite there yet. We've still got a lot of work to do. But I think at Mizzou, we just hang in the pack and do the same thing if we are feeling good, and hopefully that brings us a good time. If it's bad, it gives a chip on our shoulder for the next race in Illinois, and same thing for conference. So, but the main thing is just keeping our guys healthy. We got 5-6 weeks till conference, and if we can just get ourselves there and be ready on the line, that's all that matters. So that day, you know, it comes, what comes. 2 years ago, we had a guy lose a shoe in the first 200 meters. Another guy rolled his ankle a half mile in. I got like a back spasm. Another guy got a back spasm. And so mid-race, you don't know what's going to be thrown at you. But hopefully our conference meet will reflect last week's meet as opposed to 2 years ago at conference, because you never know what's going to be thrown at you in cross-country.
Tell us how you got here to Wichita State. You went to Edmond Memorial High School, won several state titles in Oklahoma. What was your recruiting process like?
Mm-hmm. So with track and cross country, you know, you get basically 1 year. You can get letters in the mail. I believe it's different now, but when I was in high school, you couldn't start talking to coaches until basically your senior year. So you've got kind of 6 months to 9 months to decide, which is a very quick process. So I didn't care where I went. My sister went small school and ended up running professionally from small school. So I knew that the path of Division I, Division II, NAIA, it doesn't matter. I think it's just if you know it's the right coach. So I was looking for the right program, the right guys, and the right coach. Truth be told, I wasn't as worried about – I was kind of undecided on major, so I wasn't as worried about academics. I just wanted to have a good – atmosphere to be around each and every day to get better. So when I came here on my visit, I actually had like broken my phone on the way up here, so I was kind of in a bad mood. But I got here and I met Bolt and Hunter and Ben, who's actually my roommate now. He was my host, and so that was really fun, kind of put me in a good mood. And I went and met the whole team, and all we did was just sit in a living room, about 10-15 guys, and just talk for like 2 or 3 hours. And I could just tell in that moment, like, if these guys can just sit down and hang out and talk and have such a good time with a guy they barely even know, like, that's the type of crew I want to be a part of. And then I went to practice the next day and saw their atmosphere. And so the way Coach Hunter treated his athletes was different than all the other coaches. He's a really nice guy, but he also wants the best for you. So he finds this great medium of being hard on you when it needs to be, but when he knows you need help and not necessarily coddle, but just to be not bullied around by a coach, he's there in that sense as well. So I think this place just checked all the marks. And then also I didn't want to pay trillions of dollars to come to school, so Wichita State really checked off all the boxes and it wasn't too far from home. So it wasn't a super hard decision coming down to it. I knew that this was a place I wanted to be for sure.
So when you're in a living room with 10 or 15 college athletes, are you asking questions and listening for, you know, insight into how the team gets along or how the coaches coach them? What was kind of uppermost in your mind that day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I asked some of those questions, the typical kind of like recruit questions about what day-to-day life is, what practice is like, what are the coaches willing to get us to those really quality meets to get fast times and stuff? So just different things. But then I think at this specific recruiting visit, I asked a couple of those questions, but then eventually it just drifted into normal talk. We didn't even talk about the program or anything, and just was like hanging out with friends that you've known for a while. And granted, they all were friends, so that helped it, but they just made me feel included immediately. So, but nowadays we have lots of Zoom calls with our recruits. The past year, we haven't been able to have recruits, obviously. So though we try to make those feel, we've talked about what brought us here, and it was basically the same thing that I've said for most every guy. And so we try to create that same atmosphere on those Zoom calls, just enjoyable, let them feel welcomed and answer all the questions they have, but just let them get a sense of what it would be like to be a part of basically our friend group, but really our team for 4 years, 5 years, big decision. So make sure they have fun is, I think, the first thing to check off the list, and that's definitely what I got out of my visit. So
you considered yourself more of a miler coming out of high school. Did you have to develop an affection for cross country?
So I would say I loved cross country, but I hadn't competed well outside of Oklahoma, outside of the state in cross country. I had in track, and so I think that I had the confidence in track to do that, and my mile time is kind of what got me recruited to most places. So I'd say cross country, I knew coming in an 8K was just going to be a tall order for me. I wasn't a high mileage guy. And I mean, shoot, the freshmen now are running 50 seconds faster than my PR from my freshman year in the 8K. So they're really talented. It took me a while to come along. So, and I'm still trying to figure it out. So, but I will say I love being good at cross country. I think everyone, one of the 800 guys on the team, he doesn't like cross country, but he loves the atmosphere of it. And he said if he could be good at it, he would. But it's just, it is a lot of work, and I enjoy putting that work in. The other guys help pull me along. So I wouldn't be where I am for sure without Hunter or those longer distance guys to help push me, because I just don't think that my body could push itself in those long distances. But I am adapting, and hopefully it continues to progress. But my time now is all right. It's still kind of middle of the pack as far as comparatively to the nation. So I've got a lot of work to do, but I would venture to say I'm starting to feel more like a cross country guy. Yeah.
Kirk Hunter considers you a very good leader, encouraging, motivating, protecting, taking care of the other people on the team. Where do those traits come from?
I would say my family the most, and then also being a part of sports for since I was 4 years old. It's just something, thankfully, that is my passion. Just really any sport, all stories, like individual and team stories, are super cool. Doesn't have to be track and cross country, but so just a passion for having, or for sport in general. And then I was motivated to run from like my... Probably my dad and my sister motivated me the most to run. Just she's about 6 years older than me, and just being little and watching her do it, and then the way that they taught me, I think gave me a mindset to just have a passion for running and want others to have that passion as well.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your sister. She's a cross-country coach at the University of Oklahoma, had a fabulous running career herself. Tell us a little bit about how her success played into yours.
Yeah. We started off as a soccer family. My brother played 4 years in college, and she played up until high school. She was real good, but then decided soccer's super expensive, and she realized she was good at track, so she went that route. Didn't really want to run in college. Went to a small school because they helped pay for, she had a good time right at the end of her senior year, and she was looked at by other schools, but she decided she wanted to go small school. Found out she loved running once she got to college, but not until about a year in. And so once she realized that, she really started taking it serious, and by her junior and senior year was hitting times that would be competing with Division I. And her senior year, she really hit some great times and was able to sign with the Brooks Beasts up in Seattle. She ran for them for about 4 years. Her and her husband moved back to Oklahoma City, and she tried to make it work, like working part-time, running professionally, but injury and then the pandemic just takes a beating on you for sure. And she knew she still loved running, but she knew her body probably couldn't take much more, so she decided to go to the coaching route. Ran or was a volunteer coach at Oklahoma State for 2 years, and then this past August or July got the head distance coach job at Oklahoma, and so super cool opportunity and really proud of her for that. She's also a very young coach, so it takes usually a pretty long time to be able to get a position like that. So super cool to see her get that, but she's definitely a super great leader, and I think that program has positive things in the future for them as well. But it's awesome to see her career develop and transition from a professional runner to a coach now, and I think she'll do a great job because she's coached me in high school, and I loved her as a coach, so I know she'll do a good job with those kids for sure.
Hannah Fields is your sister's name. She ran track at Oklahoma Baptist and had a very successful career, as you said. So where do you learn to race? How do you pick up the strategies, the tactics? I think there are some runners who really get it, some who don't. How do you describe that part of it?
I think that learning to race comes from years of doing it. I learned how to race when, I started running track when I was 8 or 9. So I learned how to do that up until I got to about high school. I got killed by the older high schoolers and had to adapt, hit puberty and then adapt. And then come to college, I got killed in the cross country race. Took a while to work up to being decent at the 1500. And each level, there's a new way of racing. And so there's a new learning curve as well, and a new fitness curve. And so just being patient, I think, and not getting too down on yourself when you know that there's lots of other more experienced guys. Everyone has a different path. There might be a freshman that beats me as a senior, but maybe a few years later I'll beat him. So it just depends. Just being patient, I think. But then also you run off of adrenaline. You run off of how you're feeling. And I think it can also differ from race to race, because few weeks back I had a bad race at our home meet. Just depends on what's thrown at you, so you just got to be tough and roll with the punches. But yeah, I think I race off of excitement, and coach gets a little mad at me sometimes because I'll make a stupid move and that'll come back to bite me at the end of a race. But I learned from those mistakes, so it's a never-ending cycle of reassessing and then making sure you don't do that the next time. But
just like your sister ran professionally, then coached, I think you would like to. You have some motivations to do kind of the same thing. Why coaching is career? What appeals to you about that?
I think that whatever sport I would have chosen, I probably would have ended up just taking that as far as I could, and then transitioning that into coaching. I have racked my brain over the past 4 years of what I'm going to major in, and I major in marketing, but I think that'll give me good experience for the future. But when it comes down to it, I can't really think of much else that I want to do other than be a part of running. And I want to take running as far as I can. Hopefully that means running professional one day. But after that, whenever that is, I would love to be a coach. I mean, just to see what Hunter gets to do and be a part of these student athlete stories, and as a team and as individuals, just to get to be a part of that is super cool. And I don't think that I'll really ever lose passion for the sport, whether it be as an athlete or as a coach or even one day as a fan. But I think that just getting to be a part of the stories of people, the ups and the downs, and getting to see how they attack each situation is what brings me to want to stay with the sport for as long as possible.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up with some fast topics. Do you have a favorite distance runner?
I'd say Craig Ingles, probably. He is a really good American miler, and he's just brought a sense of joy to the sport. You know, lots of runners are very, perfectionists, and he's trying to get people and the whole atmosphere to be more fun, and you can still be a human and not have to just be so focused on your sport and make so many sacrifices that you're just missing out on your whole young ages. And so I think he's a great role model in making sure people enjoy the sport rather than just view it as a job. So and then he's also super fun to watch. He's really talented. So yeah, Craig Ingles is probably my favorite pro runner.
You are a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. How are you feeling about the Chiefs returning to the Super Bowl?
Pretty good. I mean, obviously they lost to the Ravens last weekend, but it was a really close game. I'm not super worried. As long as Patrick Mahomes is there, I think we're in good hands. And Tyreek Hill, so Yeah, they look good. They look good. I'm not worried about their loss or anything. They better not have any more. But
not many more. Have you fixed in your mind, let's say Patrick Mahomes retires in, say, 15 more years to be, that's possible, but maybe optimistic. Have you fixed in your mind how many Super Bowl titles he needs to win to not have it be a, you know, kind of a slight disappointment?
Yeah, I haven't. I honestly just thought as long as he's here, we'll be in contention. And it's, I think, like, I'm a Thunder fan as well, and we've lost our superstars, and now we're not in contention, so it's a bummer to watch. So as long as you're in contention, it's just fun to be a part of. But I would say if he gets three Super Bowls while the time, including the one he has now, if he gets two or three more, he'll be considered a legend, probably one of the best to ever do it. So, but I'll be satisfied with the one he's gotten. Kansas City, they didn't have one for 50 years before that, so we can be happy with that one.
You are way too realistic and patient as a sports fan. You're, well, I think you need to, yeah, you got to get more angry and more demanding. Favorite movie?
It's probably got to be Forrest Gump. Wraps up what I do with running, but then humor, and Tom Hanks is one of my favorite actors, so it's got to be Forrest Gump. If not that, then probably the Bourne Identity, the Bourne series, so those are really good, too.
Those are good ones. So. You may have ruined my next question. Do you have a favorite running movie?
Yeah, it's got to be Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a favorite book about running?
No, I'm not much of a reader. I don't. Nah, honestly, I wish I did. I'll probably get around to that one day. Reading is not one of my hobbies right now, which is bad because I need to do it for class, but I find other ways to study.
So. Coaches around here are really into motivational books, self-help books, things like that. You might find some success there. Oklahoma City, do you have a favorite Oklahoma City Thunder player?
It was Russell Westbrook. Right. Still is. I'm not a bandwagon fan, but if the Lakers win, I won't be mad because it's Russell Westbrook. He needs to get a championship. But probably current team, I guess it's just Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's super fun to watch, really good, and he's kind of our future. So hopefully he sticks around and doesn't leave us like Kevin Durant. So.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.